Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so we're talking about the Redskins signing veterans Michael Floyd and Breshad Perriman to add depth to their receiving core. And we're wondering if you think they should have gone harder at Josh Gordon, who ends up being Tom Brady's new toy in New England. 800-636-1067. Jason and I both say, yeah, they should have rolled the dice on Josh Gordon. I think if Josh Gordon was with the Redskins, I understand tons of issues, and you are rolling the dice.
Yeah, it's a gamble.
He could show up to the park bombed, and it just fizzles and doesn't work out. But I do think he would be the most talented wide receiver by far.
Oh, I wouldn't dispute
Nobody
that.
Would debate. Nobody and would argue it.
He would be a deep threat, which right now they haven't shown to have a deep threat right now. He'd be an end zone threat, which right now they haven't shown to have an end zone threat. They have two touchdowns, right? Receiving. Chris Thompson out of the backfield, which swing pass. He basically made it on his own. And a 3-yard pass to Jordan Reed.
Yep.
That's what they have right
they're
now.
They're real close.
They have that. And Pat Mahomes has 10 of them.
They're real close to crisis mode. And I saw this when the schedule came out. Uh-huh. Okay? Because if they lose to the Packers, which I think they will, maybe they'll surprise us and play better. They're going to play better because they can't play as bad as they did last week. It's impossible. So they'll play better, but still lose. And then they have a bye. Even though they've had some success against the Saints, I still think the Drew Brees will beat them. They'll be 1-3. They had a realistic shot at 1-3.
But they should be able to exploit the corners of Green Bay. We saw what Kirk Cousins did this past weekend. He passed for over 400
plus yards.
But Cousins
was throwing down the field, down the sidelines.
I know.
I mean,
didn't he do a lot of that?
Two legit deep threats.
I know
threats.
The Diggs and Thielen
didn't
are,
he do a lot of that in the fourth quarter?
He did.
Not to diminish what he did, but
they attempted
they
it.
They had to because they weren't they it. Down by 14 or 21?
Yeah, they were down. They scored 22 points in the fourth quarter. So whatever
they were down
score
big.
Was.
And the fact that they're already out there like aggressively signing maybe. Guys shows, I mean, they know.
They know
it's
they have
critical.
An issue. Sure.
It's critical.
But you're going to have to score. I mean, you're going to have to score minimum 24 to beat the Packers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. And you can't just score all that with Thompson and Reed.
No.
You're going to have to throw
to
those
guys. You have to spice it up a little bit.
I love Chris Thompson. They got to use Reed more. They haven't used Jordan Reed nearly enough. They got to use Crowder more. They haven't used him nearly enough.
Well, definitely Crowder. Definitely.
I don't get it. And you criticize Adrian Peterson. The guy only had 11 carries.
Well, it's hard to keep giving him carries when, first of all, you're not converting on third downs. And second of all, he's averaging less than 2 yards a carry.
Yeah, I mean, they were giving it to him first. They were 2nd and 9, 2nd and 10.
He really only played about 25% of the plays.
If you actually broke down what he did in that game, he had 2 decent carries. Right. 9 of them were for 1 yard or less.
And the RPOs.
I don't blame him, though.
They're going to have to alter the RPOs with him because they were not working. It did not look like a good fit.
They'll figure it out. I think Jay will figure that out. Let's go to Mo in Largo. Mo, what's up, buddy? 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. What's up, Mo?
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
I think this is just another example of the ineptitude of our front office. I mean, Josh Morgan would absolutely be the best, or Josh Gordon would absolutely be the best talent on our team if we would have been able to acquire him. But you definitely got to make a play for the guy. I mean, his upside is tremendous. Guys of that talent, that size, that physicality don't just fall off the tree. So if you have an opportunity, you got to go after him. But, I mean, you shouldn't be opposed to offering maybe a late fourth or a fifth round pick for a guy of that talent and, you know, just try to put some stipulations within the contract where if he doesn't show up correct, then he's out of here. But, I mean, guys like that, you can't just – you got to kick the tires on him. That's crazy. And one more thing, hey, Lurch, I hope you got on that big fatty I gave you last week. That's
Miami.
2 weeks in a row, brother.
Good job. Nicely done. I'm waiting for another one. Yes, you did. You picked Miami over Toledo, laying 10.5, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah, I'll dial something up for you later this week. Thanks, fellas.
All right, thank you, pal.
And again, to respond to Mo, I mean, we don't know what the Skins were offering. We don't know what the conversations were.
Right.
I mean, I think the Skins were definitely interested, but maybe they just didn't have the ammo to get it done like New England did. But I think that they were definitely interested. They were
definitely
in
Josh interested,
Gordon.
By all accounts. But just to give you an idea, I mean, fourth round picks, they're pretty valuable. I mean, we drafted Jameson Crowder in the fourth round.
Also drafted Samaje Perine in the fourth round.
That's true. That's true. Well, but we also
in the same draft, the Vikings drafted, I believe, Stephon Diggs in the fifth round.
Yes.
Right.
Jameson Crowder. I mean,
those are valuable picks. I mean, we had Bashaud Breeland, who, you say what you want, had some moments here for this team for several years. Drafted him in the fourth
He's
round.
Still but, unemployed, by the but, way.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that weird?
I wouldn't have, if I were the Skins, I would call him and try to bring him back.
They didn't like to deal with him.
On a 1-year deal.
There's certain That's guys a personality just don't thing. Like. Yeah. But Josh Gordon's a first round talent.
Definitely.
So if you
But
could,
here's the thing. I know he's a wild card.
He's a wild card.
The report that came out was that he was acting not himself, showed up late, gave him a weird hamstring injury thing, and the insinuation clearly was that it had taken a step back with his sobriety. Then later that was refuted.
Right.
Now, was it refuted just so they could get the most trade value possible?
Who knows?
That's the whole thing. If he's sober, like let's say he's got 6 months sobriety behind him, I'd go with it. But if he had an issue last week, I can't sign him.
I know. We don't know. That's why if you make the deal, then you have one screw up and you're done. We're not dealing with it. You get one strike.
Oh, he's on the thinnest ice ever.
And if you waste the fifth round pick, oh well.
Yeah.
You rolled the dice and it just didn't work out. But it could.
Let's go to Kevin Culpepper. Kevin, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
What's up, Junks?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, two things, both related to the offensive line. I think after this game, I'm more convinced than after the first game that AP is a great running back. I think our offensive line was horrible. And I don't know if you watched the game and the commentators, they were constantly saying that the Redskins have one of the best lines in the NFL. And I just don't understand it. I thought they were terrible. If you go back and look at his carries, I don't know how many carries they had, I can't remember, but I bet more than half of them, at the moment he's handed the ball, someone's in his face, at least one guy.
Yeah.
And he had to work to get those yards that he did get. If that would have been Kelly or Perine, they'd have had negative yards on the day, I think.
Well, you don't have to worry about Kelly now. Kelly's sidelined for a month with a bagged up foot.
I agree with you. I didn't see anything from Adrian that made me pause and go, well, this guy, first week was just a fluke. It might have been a fluke with the blocking. But I think he can still, if you give him the holes, he'll still find them.
Well,
and he'll get some yards.
I disagree that he's a great back. He was a great back. He's not a great running back.
Well, I think he still can be very good. I'll say very
I just
good.
Think he's going to be wildly inconsistent.
All right, let's do Jay Gruden at the podium. Then let's talk about Chris Thompson after that. Because Shorts wrote an article quoting Chris Thompson, and Chris was bitter about it. But I mean, all he did was...
Just quoted him.
I mean, he quoted him.
Apparently, he didn't like the headline so much.
Headline, I mean, it wasn't unfair.
What exactly
I don't think it was
either.
Shorts sometimes will put some unfair headlines. Some baity, clickbaity headlines. That one wasn't.
What was the headline?
You want me to do it now? The headline was...
Well, you don't have to do it now.
No, I got it right here. The headline was,
Thompson.
Redskins player calls out fans for poor attendance. Okay?
Okay.
And then he says, here are the quotes. I think as players, we go out there, we want a loud crowd, we want a crowd out there to give us a boost. When their offense is on the field, put them in a situation where the communication may be off because they can't hear things. Me, I noticed it. I also noticed the boos we got as well, and that's not something I'm a real big fan of. If you're a fan of a team, you shouldn't be booing them. Whether we're doing good or bad, we understand as players that we're not performing how we should. You don't have to boo us to let us know we're out there on the field. I do agree with him. I think booing is hack, but you are kind of calling out, you are complaining a little bit.
I don't mind them booing if they're not playing well. They weren't playing well.
I just think booing is for losers.
Well,
because
they're
all trying.
You can read it on thesportsjunkies.com.
But anyway.
But he did call out the fans. That's exactly what he did.
I think so, too. But he didn't like it. He actually tweeted. So he saw the headline, and he tweeted. And do you think Shorts, like, he just loved this and pulled his pants down? Or do you think Shorts... didn't want to upset, you know.
No, made his day.
It made his day. Okay.
I guarantee
somebody
you it made
clicks,
his day.
He probably got a bonus if somebody clicks.
So Thompson tweeted yesterday, I hate this headline, honestly. Read the article. I won't get into a Twitter war, which is good for him. But if you think I would just call out / bash the fan, then you clearly don't know me, and it's a shot at me as a person. Well, I would say this, Chris. We all love Chris.
Yeah.
I'm sure Shorts loves Chris. He wasn't saying that you're bashing the fans.
Right.
and he wasn't taking a shot at you as a person. He was reprinting your quote.
Chris Thompson had a bad weekend. The Skins lost. He took some punishment, took some thunderous shots.
He did.
And Florida State got boat raced by Syracuse. Yeah. Just a bad weekend for Chris Thompson. I understand why he's a little bit salty.
He'll get over it.
You want to actually hear the Thompson quotes? We actually have the audio. You can hear it for yourself.
I'd love to hear it.
I wouldn't say it affects us as a team, but, you know, I know we want to have our stadium packed out. Like, that makes us feel good. It makes us, you know, feel like we got the support of the people here in this DMV area. And for it to be as empty as it was, to me, it was a little bit of a shock. But, you know, I'm hoping it was because of the weather or what was supposed to happen with the weather. But, I mean, we got another one Sunday, so we'll see. But, like I said, I always want the crowd to be there to, you know, have our backs and be cheering us on, because that definitely, I think, it's a boost for us for sure.
Well, don't worry, Chris. The stadium will be full this weekend.
With Packers fans.
Full of people wearing green and gold and cheese hats.
Yeah, a lot of cheese hats.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of that in the stadium this weekend.
As players, you know, we go out there, we want a loud crowd. We want a crowd out there to, you know, give us a boost. You know, when their offense is on the field, you know, put them in situations where, you know, the communication may be off because they can't hear and things like that. And we didn't have a good turnout. Me, I noticed it. And I also noticed the boos we got as well. And that's not something that I'm a real big fan of. If you're a fan of a team, you shouldn't be booing them, whether we're doing good or bad. You know, we understand as players that we're not performing how we should. You don't have to boo us to let us know we're out there on the field. Like, the one thing you should be doing, in my opinion, is cheering us on. But, you know, it is what it is.
Listen, I happen to agree with him. And I think everybody agrees Chris Thompson's a great guy. But he is kind of calling out the fans. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it is what it is. But no one's bashing him. What he said is actually true. I think it's hack when you boo.
I know this. The Redskins executives who we met, they've got an uphill battle.
Oh, they've got the
because
work cut
really,
out for them.
No matter what they do, the pyro and all those things, the perception is so built in after 20 years of people going to the stadium, the bad experience. And the only antidote is something that's completely out of their control. It's winning.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That is that the only
antidote. I talked to a buddy who's, I think, a long-time fan, if not a long-time season ticket holder. I think he told me he sold his tickets last week. He thinks even winning ain't going to solve it.
It would take...
That's what I disagree with, because I think winning will, yeah, but yeah. Consistent
sustained
winning.
It'll take, you know, an RG3-like year, well, yeah, where that excitement builds, yeah, and everybody goes on fire.
Look at the difference between that year and what you saw on Sunday.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the public spoke over the weekend. 57,000 in attendance.
Let's play the Jay quotes real quick while we wrap this up. We're hitting the Skins. Extended Skins hitting.
Look at you with your endurance and Skins hitting.
Jay talks about how he thinks the team will bounce back versus the Packers.
You know, I think everybody's obviously very disappointed. And anytime you lose a game, it's hard to get up and come to work. But I think guys are focused on the next one. That's the only way we can be. It's on to the next one. It always is, win or lose, and put this behind it. We have to learn from our mistakes, without a doubt. Okay. The energy factor was a factor. We got to figure out ways to boost these guys up more in pregame warm-up and get them a little bit more energized, so to speak, get the fans involved, get their adrenaline flowing.
Club that, J. That's what
somebody
Chris
asked him,
it.
And maybe this is what that second quote is, about somebody said there might have been a lack of energy, and he said, I don't know if this is the quote, that
Adrian
they just
Peterson
got behind the eight
it.
Ball from the very after they gave up that opening touchdown and never got into a rhythm the rest of the game.
I watched Adrian Peterson right after the game in the locker room, and he was saying that there was a lack of energy at the beginning and he didn't know why.
I think what happened was they took the opening drive and went 75 yards for touchdown, right? We got hit in the mouth right there on the opening drive. We never were able to establish any momentum. We failed to capitalize on them. We failed to grab the momentum at any point in the game. So there's really... Unfortunately, we never really had a chance to play with a lot of great energy. We're trying our hardest to get the momentum back, but we just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully things are different against Green Bay.
Well, they'll play better.
I don't know if they're going to play better.
I don't think they're going to win, but they're going to play better.
But can they score 24 to 28 points?
Yeah, that's can what, they get that's to what that Green point? Bay does.
I think minimum. They can. Minimum. Yeah.
I think they can. They just have to keep up with Rodgers. You know, you have to keep up with, you know, one of the all-time greats.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Right now, we'll go around the NFL with Ross Tucker. And it's funny, Ross, you can talk about it. You have a lot of jobs. It looks like you're now part of The Athletic. Who isn't? The Junkies.
Yeah, apparently we're not.
We're the only guys not working for them.
I love it, man. We got like our own little army. It's The Athletic army. I love it. And I'm all in on that model, by the way. I'm so sick of going to websites mm-hmm. where like the video pops up and, you know, starts playing and or these ads pop up, you know, for whatever
so
it is.
Annoying. It's like, so annoying.
It's like $3 a month. I mean, for less than like a cup of coffee, that's to just read what I want to read. And it's the local stuff and the national stuff and not having to worry about pop-ups and banners. I mean, for $3 a month, yeah, it's worth it to me.
Hmm. That's definitely a deal.
All right, so we were talking about the NFL earlier and just all kinds of things, and we'll get to the Redskins, but one of the things we were kicking around was the Josh Gordon situation. And the New England Patriots roll the dice on Josh Gordon. If you had to bet, is this going to work out in New England with Josh Gordon as Tom Brady's new toy?
I would bet no. I would bet he gets cut before the year ends, would be my guess.
I agree.
Now, I might be wrong.
I agree.
And I don't really mind that they did it. You know, you've got Brady at 41. They clearly have some concerns about their receivers and weapons right now. And you're trying to win another one. We get it. I actually like the move for the Patriots. I mean, who cares about a fifth-round pick? You know, especially with that organization and the stage that they're at right now, they always end up somehow having like five more picks than everybody else anyway. So I think the risk reward is there for the Patriots, but I still don't think it's going to work. I mean, there's a lot of times the Patriots have done that. You'd be like, all right, okay, they're taking a shot on Ocho Cinco, shot on Haynesworth. It seems like more of those haven't worked than have as of late. You know, the ones that have worked, Corey Dillon and Randy Moss, those were a long time ago. I mean, that was like 12. I was there with Corey, and then Randy Moss came right after me. And the difference between those guys and Josh Gordon, there's a lot of them. But one thing is those guys were chronic malcontents. Those guys had attitude issues, right, because they didn't like being on the Bengals and the Raiders at the time. Josh Gordon's totally different. I mean, Josh Gordon is an accountability issue. You just can't count on him, which is crazy because that's Belichick's number one thing. Like, this is the guy that sends home players if they're 2 minutes late after it snows 4 feet of snow. All like, right. I'll be very curious to see how much patience he has because he just, that kind of stuff drives him crazy, man. Crazy. So I'm sure he's already realized he's going to have some patience, but we'll see how long it takes to see if it wears thin. And we'll see if Josh Gordon can get Brady's trust.
Right.
You know,
right.
Brady doesn't like throwing picks. Brady doesn't like throwing to guys that aren't where they're supposed to be either.
But right. Like you said, I mean, if he does stay sober and he shows up on time and he's fine for the next, you know, 14, I mean, it could be a huge get for them. If he can, it's a big if.
But if he could do all those things, he would have more than 20 catches in his career since 2014. I mean, the Browns basically did everything they could to try to get more out of that guy and to try to get him on the field, and they finally gave up. So I don't know what going to New England is going to change that, but we'll see. You know, because like I said, it's an accountability thing more than his attitude.
Right.
All right, let's talk about the receivers, though, that the Redskins did sign. They clearly have an issue, not able to push the ball downfield. Now, it's only been two games, and in the first game, they were pounding it. I'm not even going to hold it against them in week one. But clearly they feel like they need some help there. They're bringing Perriman, fast kid, but he's done nothing, no hands. And then they bring in Floyd, who's done something, but he's much like Gordon. He hadn't really done anything in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys that. Do they have an injury at receiver that I'm not aware of?
Well, just
they
to
lost
the
some of their depth. They really don't have anybody behind the top three.
They lost Trey Quinn and Cam Sims, guys who were just, you know, the guys who made the team in training camps. And Trey Quinn was actually returning punts, but he got hurt in that first game along with Sims. So they don't have any guys behind the top three.
And they're clearly not happy that they haven't really done anything downfield yet.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, what's weird about that is, I mean, that's why they signed Paul Richardson. And I know he made at least one play downfield Sunday, right? One.
Yeah, but they're running him. They're using him differently than I thought, at least from my, you know, amateur eyes. He doesn't seem to be running the same routes that Deshaun ran. He's running more like across the field. They're using him in reverses, that sort of thing.
I mean,
I don't know.
Crowder only had two catches.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what's a little bit weird to me about it is I thought, you know, that's why they paid Richardson a lot of money. I thought Richardson did some good things on Sunday. I didn't know.
He has.
So here's what I would say. Michael Floyd would be like, Michael Floyd is what you want Doxson to be when Michael Floyd's good. Like, he's a bigger body control guy. That's what he brings to the table. Perriman is just raw speed, and obviously he's had his issues that you already referenced. So I don't know. I mean, my guess is they probably are looking for a guy that they can trust as the fourth receiver, and they're bringing two guys in to throw something at the wall and see what sticks.
What we've said is, if you're Josh Doxson, though, this is clearly a wake-up call. You're in your third year. They're bringing guys in left and right. You're dropping balls. You're really not producing. If I was Josh Doxson, I would not be sleeping easy.
No, I think you're right. And I think it probably is, because I think, you know, Richardson did enough on Sunday. Crowder has done enough in his career that I think those guys aren't going anywhere anytime soon. But Doxson might be the one where they're finally like, all right, we've lost our patience with this guy. Let's see what these other guys can do. But, I mean, you know, if they're available here going into week three, that means no other team wanted them the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. They might be able to do something, but I wouldn't count on it, that's for sure.
Ross, yeah. Let's stick in the NFC East here. I love Saquon Barkley and his skill set, but did Dave Gettleman botch it by selecting him at number two overall? He now has the sixth highest paid running back in the league in Saquon, and what appears to be a washed quarterback in Eli Manning through 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a decision that the Giants regret for 15 years.
Wow.
For a couple different reasons. Number one, because Sam Darnold's good. I mean, he wasn't perfect on Sunday, and they lost the game, but you know it when you see it. He's good. I mean, Darnold's the real deal. He made some impressive throws. You know, the one pick, Terrell Pryor just quit on the route on him for some unknown reason. You guys probably remember that happening. But so Darnold's good, and Eli – I mean, I'm not even convinced Eli is better than Darnold right now. I mean, Eli – now, I will say this. The Giants' offensive line and their refusal to pick up a blitz the other night was driving me bananas. I mean, I don't care who wins the games. I just can't stand watching stupidity and guys making mental error after mental error. It's like the Giants O-line was taking turns. And I think that's part of why Eli was a deer in the headlights. But guys, Eli's thing used to be like, he got rid of the ball quickly, never got sacked, get the ball. I mean, what is going on? That was ugly. And so the thought process behind Saquon Barkley was, Eli still has it, and we want to try to win these next couple years. But Eli doesn't have it.
He doesn't have it anymore.
They're not going to win these next couple of years. So that makes their decision, I mean, it was already a bad decision. It makes it 1,000 times worse in my mind that they're not going to go anywhere with Eli, and now they don't have a quarterback. I mean, if there's a saving grace, it looks like the Giants might be pretty darn bad, which would enable them to get one of the top guys this year. I don't know if that's the Lock kid from Missouri or Herbert from Oregon. I don't know if those guys end up being good or not. I don't think they'll be as good as Darnold. But the only way they can save face in this now is if they get another quarterback this year and he ends up being good. And then you've got Odell under contract and Shepard and Ingram and Barkley and a young quarterback. Because Eli doesn't have it, man. He is washed. It's a shame. It's sad. But it's done.
Ross, just a quick follow-up nugget. I couldn't believe this when I saw it. Dave Gettleman, the GM of the Giants, do you understand he's never traded back in the NFL draft? Ever.
Ever?
He's never once has he looked at a pick and said, you know what? I don't really love this guy, so maybe I'll trade back and get a pick or two. He's never, ever traded back a pick in the NFL draft. I find that,
yeah, so that
mind-boggling.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right, because you should be able to look at it at least once in all those rounds. You should at least once be like, you know what? There's four guys here that they're all about the same. We could trade down like four or five picks, pick up another pick, and then get a guy. Let's do it.
Right.
He never did that once. Like that's and I like Dave Gettleman. I think the dude's hilarious when he talks, but that's scary.
So Ross, there are seven teams right now that are 2-0, and I think we all kind of expected the Jags and the Rams, who are two of those teams, to make the playoffs before the season started. But the other five teams, all right, I'm just going to reel them off here. Tampa, obviously, with Fitzpatrick going nuts. You've got the Broncos and the Chiefs, both 2-0. Mahomes is an unbelievable story. You've got the Bengals at 2-0. You've got the Dolphins. Okay, out of those five teams, which of those five do you like making the playoffs? Even though it's very early, but at 2-0.
Bengals. I think the Bengals are good. I wouldn't be shocked if the Broncos made it, but I think the Bengals. I'm not buying the Dolphins. I think the Chiefs have a very good chance too, because they're in the AFC. I'd say out of all those, probably Chiefs and Bengals, although the Chiefs defense is terrible. I mean, really, really bad. The Bengals have two wins now by double digits, including on the road at Indy, a team that just came to Washington and beat your guy. That, by the way, that was the most Redskin thing ever.
Yep.
To go on the road week one, blow out a team, come home and lose at home like that to the Colts, that was very, very disappointing. I thought for sure we would talk this week about the Redskins being 2-0. I don't need to tell you guys this, but I was very bummed out by that. But I think the Bengals are legit. I mean, their receivers are good. Their running back, Mixon's good. Their O-line's a lot better. Their defense is good at every level. They're just good. I mean, the Bengals are back to being, you know, that stretch when they made the playoffs every year. They're back to be, and the Steelers are down. I think the Bengals end up winning that division.
Yeah, it's going to be tight between the Steelers, Ravens, and Bengals, I would think.
I think that they're back. Now, I thought that maybe it'd be like that one year when all three of them made the playoffs. I don't think that'll be the case. I think maybe two of them will make it and the other one doesn't. Mm. But the Bengals have looked really, really good so far. They've got some – it's amazing because, like, week 16 last year, I would have bet $1 million that Marvin Lewis is going to be fired, and here they are.
Hey, let me ask you about John Gruden in Oakland. I was watching some of these national shows, and – people already want to jump to the conclusion that it's not going to work out for John Gruden and the game's passed him by. I'm like, they lost a squeaker and, you know, the first game, whatever. Give him some time. Do you think a game can pass a coach by when they're out coaching? They're not coaching for several years. They're just in the booth.
I don't think the game has passed him by. I think that he's made some very questionable personnel decisions, and I think that's what's gotten him into trouble before in his career, like even in Tampa. I mean, if you look at some of the moves they've made, the Martavis Bryant trade is ridiculous. And then how about this, guys? They cut him, and then after week one, they bring him back, but still give him $1.9 million, which is three times what they have to pay him.
Right.
Nobody else was trying to sign the guy. Like, and Raiders fans are like, who cares? Not that much money. And if he gets suspended, we don't have to pay him. Like, you guys don't understand. We're not in the business of paying guys three times more than they have to.
Right.
Like, they have made some very, very questionable personnel decisions and finance decisions. And I think that's what people are criticizing more than anything else. I think X and O's wise, they're fine. I think they're playing hard. You know, I guess the one thing he did, which I think is kind of smart, he brought in a bunch of veterans that, you know, guys like Derek Johnson and like Frosty Rucker, and even more recently Hankins and Clinton McDonald. These are guys that they don't really have any other options. So they're going to be very loyal to him because not only are they getting another year of pay, but they're getting another year of their 401k and their annuity and all that stuff. So people are like, oh, he's going to lose the locker room. No, he's not. You know what old guys like? Staying in the league. Right. And they like the guy that signs them to stay in the league. So I don't think he'll lose the locker room. I just think he's made a series of questionable personnel decisions. And it doesn't really make sense to have the oldest team in the league when he's told Jason Witten, I guess, in a production meeting that he feels like this is a total teardown, which, by the way, is as insulting as it can possibly get for his current GM, Reggie McKenzie. I mean, how do you come in? The guy's been the GM for like 5 years. Like, oh, yeah, man, this roster, this is a total teardown.
Yeah.
Really? Then why is that dude still your GM?
They're not going to last there. Yeah. Hey, real quick, Ross, did you watch the Pats-Jags game?
Yeah, I watched a decent amount of it, yeah.
Okay, so with 7.5 minutes left, the Pats are down 11. They're on their own 14, and White caught that pass and looked like a first down. They measured. He was a half a foot short. Don't you kind of have to go for it there if you're Belichick, or is there too much time on the clock?
I think, no, 7.5 minutes, he feels like there's too much time. They were at their own 14, right?
Yeah, they're on their, yeah, of course, own 14.
No, there's too much time.
But then Jacksonville went right down the field and scored. Game was over.
Right, I think... I the theme of that entire game was that Belichick thought Bortles would make a mistake. Belichick didn't believe in the Jags offense, and it cost him dearly because Bortles lit him up. Right. And that was the latest example there. I don't think you have to go there. No, I mean, because if you go there and you don't get it, the game's over right there. I think if you look in their history, that, you know, that Falcons game, playoff game,
yeah.
And the Super Bowl, obviously, even the Jags last year. The Patriots have an unbelievable ability for you to like look at the scoreboard and be like, man, they're done. This is over. And then they still come back and win. There's always more time than you think, I feel like, when the Patriots are behind.
Well, yeah. Because Brady can move them so quickly when needed.
I mean, it's obviously hindsight, but the next play, Bortles hit Westbrook across the middle, and he went 70 yards for a touchdown. And then the game definitely...
Yeah, but they're not thinking that that's going to happen, right? I mean, he's like, in his head, Belichick in his head is thinking, okay, I'm going against Doug Marrone. You know, even if we punt it away, the Jags will be conservative probably. They'll probably run it a couple times. We got a good chance to get a three and out. He's not thinking that D.D. Westbrook's taking one 70 yards to the house.
Yeah, they couldn't stop Bortles all day, so... Anyway, it struck me when I was watching that game. Good stuff, man.
Thank you, Ross. It's great having you on.
Now he's an NFL analyst for SiriusXM and The Athletic, and of course he's got the ballcannon.com connection. Thanks,
thank
Ross.
You. Thank ball you, Ross.
Ballcannon.com. new technique this week.
I just
repeat it really loudly and quick. Ballcannon.com.
A lot of people are focused on what's going on in the news, whether it's the Supreme Court nomination or Hurricane Florence, which I believe is a tropical depression now.
Okay.
But this is the news that people should be talking about.
Yes.
Headline, man accused of rubbing produce on his butt in Northern Virginia grocery store.
You're doing a road trip?
That's just disrespectful.
A man was arrested.
What was he upset at?
Don't know. A man was arrested at a Giant grocery store on Dumfries Road in Manassas after he was seen pulling down his pants and rubbing produce items on his buttocks.
You're kidding. Why is he bitter?
Offers
responded too high?
To the Giant grocery store at about 4:30 p.m. on Saturday.
I got to tell you, that's one of the funniest things.
Officers arrested Manassas resident Michael Dwayne Johnson. It's not The Rock.
How old is he?
He's 27.
27.
He's now facing charges of indecent exposure and destruction of property.
Let me ask you a question. On his cheek or where the sun don't shine?
Those details aren't in the story. What it does say is...
I mean, was he using it as toilet paper?
He defiled... Actually, what kind of produce would you guess? I have the answer.
Lettuce.
Cucumber.
Broccoli. You guys
eggplant.
All want vegetables.
Yeah.
Apparently it was fruit. That's all I have is fruit. I don't know if it's bananas.
Well, when you initially said, honestly, the first thing I thought was an apple. But then then I was just thought, sticky. Let's go
cucumber. I was
thinking
ahead of lettuce.
Ahead of lettuce.
Right. Ahead of lettuce. I mean,
but they use that plastic.
The early leader in the clubhouse is this guy has some sort of mental issue.
He could have taken the wrap off.
No. See, to me, the early leader in the clubhouse is disgruntled employee.
But that's not fetish.
It could be a disgruntled employee move.
Somebody with an axe.
Because the store had to destroy several pallets of produce.
Of course
they did. Now, to me, a giant can survive that. right. because it's so massive, so he's not taking them down.
Right.
But to me, it screams disgruntled employee.
Yeah, did they say he worked there?
That could be it. No.
Right.
Doesn't have like a motive here. The
disgruntled employee, or he knew his wife was about to go to the grocery, and he's pissed at her.
A giant store manager said he was unable to speak
about
the incident.
Like an ex, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, she gets sliced for salads.
He's pissed off at somebody.
That's yeah, he's funny. Clearly angry about something.
For sure.
Something
that's,
in his life.
That's pretty ballsy, man. Just pull your pants down in the fruit set.
Do you think you've eaten food that's been defiled?
Probably.
God,
probably.
I hope not.
From a restaurant.
I'm praying it hasn't been.
Hopefully not in
48
the
years? Yes.
Hopefully not in the worst way ever.
Pants on the ground. I know where you're going.
Yeah. Hopefully somebody didn't, you know, make a Caesar salad. And, yeah, you just never know.
Yeah, how would you know?
I mean, you have no idea what people are doing behind those doors.
You said, you know what you have to do? You have to trust people.
To trust.
Trust them and be good humans.
Yeah.
I know it's hard sometimes.
That's why, like, I never really try to look. Like, if I go to Subway or something, I just order my stuff and I try to look away. I don't even want to see them, how they're putting it in there. Yeah. I don't want to see. Yeah,
I'm okay with if they have the gloves on.
Yeah. As long as they have the gloves on.
They got the gloves on. Okay,
they better look like an NFL wideout when they're making my sub at Jersey Mike's. They better have, like, they put their hands together. It better say Jersey Mike's on their
hands. Do they have gloves Cakes,
when
at Jersey
were,
Mike's?
When you were working at Subway in the.
This is the late 80s. Late 80s.
Were you using gloves? I feel like gloves is relatively new.
No, I think I was.
Really?
From scanning the memory banks, I believe I was.
Because I think even back then you had to have, like, if you didn't have a hairnet, you had to have, like, your hair up or something like that. That's not, like, a new thing.
God, that was such a terrible job, being a sandwich artist.
How much did
Subway?
You make? Sandwich artist.
Like, minimum wage.
You weren't
which
an
was
artist.
One at the time.
It was probably $3.35 an hour, $3.50 an hour.
If you were
this is, like, 1988, 89.
If you were a sandwich artist, was I a pizza artist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently you were.
Right.
Didn't you get a certificate?
Yeah, you got
or something?
A perfect score.
I didn't get
on
a certificate, but they graded my pizza and it was still like 10 out of 10.
That was back in the day of the, was it called the Priazza?
The Priazza was so good.
What was that?
It was like a pizza pie. It was like a pizza pie.
It was a gimmick.
It was a stuffed pizza before they came up with stuffed
pizza. Well, it wasn't like stuffed crust. It was like two layers.
Right, you know? But wasn't there something in between?
It was like a pie. Like, imagine like a pie.
It was like a stuffed pizza.
There's no way
they
that Pizza Hut in our old neighborhood is still open.
Still open.
What?
And here's the thing about it.
It still is.
Nobody goes in there. I think it's a delivery joint. Like, people order delivery.
Yeah.
But I've ordered pizza there, and I've walked in.
You order from the Hut?
And I've gone there to pick one up in person, like carry out.
There's 9 million other pizza joints. You picked one from the Pizza Hut?
Pizza Hut's still good.
It's in the neighborhood. My mom lives down the street.
You could get every pizza in that neighborhood.
Okay. What else is over there?
All of them.
Like what?
Papa John's, Domino's.
Papa John's is good.
I'm sure you could get a mom and pop pizza.
I'm sorry. A pan pizza still selling.
I'm getting Pizza Hut over Domino's.
I'm going thin. I don't do pan anymore.
You don't do pizza at all.
I really don't do pizza that much anymore.
But
you just
tell
eat
you
the cheese
I
off the
it.
Top like a weirdo.
My mom lives 3 blocks away. You know that. Your mom lives 3 blocks away. And you can also double dip. Sometimes I've had requests where I've got my mom who wants something from Subway because she's on this weird diet, can only eat a few things.
Right.
And then the kids want pizza, so I just go there to the plaza, I order the pizza, carry
they
out.
Don't have a...
I then walk over to the Subway, I get my Subway. When that comes out, then I go back to the Pizza Hut, and it's ready.
I'm stunned that the Pizza Hut there is still open.
Well, again, nobody inside. I believe Pizza Hut kills it in the delivery
game. They used to kill it at lunch. You get the silly lunch buffet.
Yeah,
you get all
true.
The different slices.
I mean, maybe it still does. The place which you would be stunned, remember they put, I believe it was called, this is so inside in Pointer Ridge, RJ's Barbecue Pit.
Yeah.
Just in the middle of a parking
that
lot,
little
they
thing's
put
still
up
open?
A little hut. No, that,
yeah,
thing's,
that
done.
Thing's gone. That thing's been gone for 20 years.
Yeah.
All right, let's go
They're
real
putting
quick.
In one of those trampoline places in the old Giant.
Let's go to Andrew in Manassas. Andrew, what's up?
Hey.
Is that what it sounds
good
like?
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up?
This question is for JP, and I apologize. I know it's on Open Line Thursday, but I was watching CNN this morning, and they were showing a promo for one of the shows coming up this weekend. And a young lady in the show, she confessed to doing a killing. I guess she must have been in the Virginia area. The thing was, she was wearing a Redskins shirt, and they never blocked it out. And normally when I see those type of shows, they kind of block out stuff for image. And I was curious, JP, whether or not that's something that we're probably going to be hearing from Dan Snyder about in the immediate future.
I doubt that Dan Snyder is worried about the Redskins jersey not being blocked out in a murder case.
Yeah.
Right. He just wants
and
people
in
the seats.
Yeah. He probably likes it because
any pop is good pop.
Yeah.
Right?
I see JP Finley, our buddy JP Finley from NBC Sports Washington, just tweeted, you want to feel old? Congressional, I guess they awarded this then this morning. Congressional's going to host the PGA Championship, and they're going to get a Ryder Cup. In 2031, I'll be 61 years old, and then they're getting a Ryder Cup. I'll be 66 in 2036.
They're trying to. Or has it been officially announced?
He says, huge news for DC Golf. They will host.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
2031 PGA
Championship.
And 2036. So...
It's only 13
years
away.
At least one of us won't be alive for the Ryder Cup.
That's a horrible thought.
That's terrible.
It's likely.
In the 60s?
Come 66.
On. It's likely that we're all living in our 70s.
I never assume that,
you assume
ever.
Everything.
That's not assuming.
Old. And if I go, I'm going to be so hurt. Statistics. I'm going to be so gimpy.
Go to an actuary.
Hey, are we still going to be doing hit the skins?
We might still be doing hit the skins.
Probably not as often.
Yeah, we won't do it every day.
I mean,
day.
It is
we'll
big
it
news, but it's not.
Once a week. It'll be a once a week segment.
It's not something I'm thinking about. It's so far away.
Joining us right now on the Madison Square House Hotline is Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Operations, General Manager of the Washington Nationals. As we go in the clubhouse, Mike Rizzo, presented by Burke and Herbert Bank, unexpectedly different. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Doing all right. Look,
I think a lot of people are happy that they got to see a Victor Robles home run. That was nice.
It was nice. He had a great at bat, a good swing on it. Showed his hand speed and power, and he hit it a long way, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, he crushed it. How's he played overall since you called him up? How do you think? How would you grade him?
Yeah, he's his tools are off the charts. You know, everyone can see that. The athleticism, speed, arm, defensive abilities, power. A feel at the plate, but he's had a little rust. I've seen a little rust on him. You know, he went almost 4 months without playing a game and after the elbow injury. But what it looks like is his strength is regained in his left elbow, and he's starting to get some at bats under his belt in AAA. And we brought him to the big leagues because we wanted him to be around the big league club and to regain some of those at-bats. And I think this offseason, this winter, will be important for him to play winter ball and in Dominican and kind of make up for those lost at-bats he had. And this guy's got a chance to be a really good special player for us, and we're looking forward to seeing his development and next step in his career.
When will the winter ball start?
Certain big leaguers go in at different times. Some guys play all season. Some guys play the first half or the second half of the season. I believe he'll jump into it, soon after the major league season ends. It starts in late October, early November, and continues through, almost up until spring training. So he's going to recoup some of those at bats this winter and report to spring training. Happy, healthy, and ready to take his next step, I think.
Do you think Robles feels any added pressure with what Soto has done at such a young age, or does that not faze him at all?
You know, I talking to him, I don't think it'll faze him. They know each other well. You know, they were in the academy together. They've kind of Victor was a year or so ahead of him. But I think this is a good impetus for him to push himself and to really work hard this offseason and kind of make an impact. He's the next wave of our talented young guys, and I think that he takes pride in that, and those guys in the academy will help him along, and I think that that's all going to I think Soto will be a great impact on him, not only to push him along, but to kind of show him the way.
Mike, I was wondering, Joe Ross pitched the other day, and it's great to have him back, and, he's so good in such a limited time. It made me think, if we had Joe Ross, now, this is a hypothetical, just work with me, but if we had a healthy Joe Ross all year, and that means he didn't have the Tommy John, because I know you're going to phase him in slowly, like you did with the other guys with Tommy John's, but if we had a healthy, he never tore his UCL or whatever, and we had a healthy Joe Ross, would this season have turned out completely different?
I think it would have given us another really good option to run out there every 5 days. And, with the combination of, Hellickson being on the DL twice and Strauss on it twice and some spotty performances by a couple other guys for extended periods last year, he certainly would have helped. He's a potential, middle of the rotation guy for us. So, he certainly would have helped. It's good to see him back. And, the real thing that I'm happiest about is that his velocity and stuff look like it's returned. Feel, command, and location is always the last thing to come with Tommy John recipients, and we're looking forward to him to getting some innings under his belt and having a good off season to prepare for spring training and not rehabbing for spring training. So we're looking forward to seeing Joe, you know, back on the mound for us next year, and 2019 could be a big year for him.
You know, Mike, obviously Soto has had a huge year in his rookie year, and then Harp, you know, has come back to you know, what we thought he would be, and he's going to hit close to 40 homers. But no one's talking about Rendon's year, man. Rendon's having a really good year. Has he ever hit 300 in a season? I'm not even sure if he has. Maybe he has.
I mean, he has, and he's a guy that, you know, is certainly capable of and should be a 300 type of hitter. And, you know, he gets on base, he drives in big runs. He's got a combination of the speed, the power,
right,
average, and defense. And he has had a sneaky, quiet, great year this year. And because that's his personality. That's the way he likes it. He likes it under the radar. He's very confident. He's got very much a swagger in his own right, but it's kind of a quiet, almost kind of a swagger that he likes, that it goes under the radar and is not very boisterous about it.
Yeah, he hit 301 last year. He's hitting 304 this year. He missed some games with an injury, but man, he's having just a hell of a year. He really is.
Yeah, he's a great player and a great guy off the field, and a guy that we're really connected to. We, you know, drafted, signed, and developed him, and watched him turn into a star in a very short period of time.
I was asking the boys before the show about Harp, and you know, we've talked about it, and we just don't know if he's going to be back. I mean, I know you guys want him, but you know, he's a Boris guy. He may go out and shop himself around. Who knows if it'll be the highest bidder or not? But the last home game is Wednesday, September 26th against the Marlins. Will the team acknowledge at all Harper possibly playing his last home game there?
I'm not sure what the plans are for that. I would think that the fans will certainly recognize the season he's had and the way he's played for us and that type of thing. He's had a great season for us. A guy who's really carried us in the second half of the year. And I think the fans will certainly acknowledge him. And I think that deserves a great year. And he's put together, you know, six good years for us in the big leagues. And he's a guy that, you know, he's really beloved by the fan base.
Mm-hmm. At the very minimum, there's got to be like a standing ovation for him at some point.
I would imagine the fans are going to really, really embrace it and really acknowledge Harp like they did at the Home Run Derby. That was remarkable and showed really what DC fan base thinks about Bryce Harper.
Right.
Where do you see Robles in the lineup in the future? I know that's a managerial decision, but where do you envision him being in the lineup?
Well, I think that, you know, he's got the capability to hit at the top of the lineup. His minor league career on base percentage is kind of states that he could hit at the top of the lineup. He does have the power and speed package that he could hit in a run producing role for us in the lineup too. So he gives the manager a lot of flexibility. He could hit at the top of the lineup. He could hit in the middle of the lineup. He could be that impetus at the bottom of the lineup also that can really, you know, as you turn over the lineup, can really give you a force down at the bottom of the lineup and kind of turn it over for the top guys. So a lot of options that are available for Robles because of his package, the way he can steal bases and run and his on-base percentage. And, you know, just time will tell, see what where he fits in the lineup. But, you know, his time is coming. You could see the skill set and the ability level of this guy is off the charts. He was like a very coveted minor league prospect for us when trade talks were bantied about. His name was on everybody's list, and was a guy that along with Soto and a few other names that we were not willing to talk about.
talking to Mike Rizzo, president of baseball ops, general manager of the Washington Nationals. So what is the Mike Rizzo schedule at the end of the season, assuming no playoff baseball?
Well, we'll dive right into the autopsy of 2018, the preparation for 2019. We'll have general manager meetings early November, winter meetings in December, but we won't take much time off to vacation or anything like that, but we'll dive into it because we're looking forward to rebooting this thing and getting back on track. It is no fun not talking about postseason baseball.
So right now, when you look at the postseason picture, potential postseason picture, I mean, the American League, it's pretty much set. We just don't know where that wild card game will be played. So Boston, Cleveland, Houston, what's the pecking order in your mind, right? I mean, New York's kind of died with no pitching, Judge being out kills them. But what's the power rankings in the American League for you right now between Boston, Cleveland, and Houston?
Well, not having seen any of those teams except for the Yankees and the Red Sox were, I think, the most powerful team that we played all season. They had the combination of a really, really elite starting pitching rotation and a lineup that is just – it's just hard to navigate through that lineup with all the offensive options that they have. So, you know, Boston was as good as anybody we've played in a long, long time, and they've got a great balance of good players there. So I would have to say that they're the favorites going into it. Like I said, we haven't played Cleveland or Houston this year, and when you're not playing somebody, you don't pay that much attention to them. But Boston was hell to play, and they were a tough team to navigate, that's for sure.
Understood. So what about the National League? Cubs, Dodgers, Braves, maybe throw in the Brewers, Cardinals in there. What do you like in that league?
Whoever's pitching best, starting pitching is king, and especially in those that those are very very similar kind of lineups and ways to beat you. The starting pitching rotation is going to dictate who's going to make a run through that thing. You know, Cubs, Dodgers are very, very difficult to run up against. But that Brewer lineup is rough. If they get some starting pitching, they can really swing the bats with anybody. And you've got Yelich and that group that's having a terrific season. And Craig Counsell is about as good as it gets in the dugout. So I think it's really balanced and wide open, and a really really going to be good baseball and good viewing for the fan base. And I really think whatever rotation gets is hottest going into it is got a distinct advantage because they're really balanced after that.
Mike, it's time for the Burke and Herbert Bank fan question of the week. What hardships did Davey Martinez face in his first season, and what does he need to improve on next year? That's from Adam in Arlington.
Well, Adam, I think that the hardships that Davey had to work through is learning a new baseball team kind of through spring training on the fly, and then the rash of injuries at certain positions at the same time. When groups and clusters of guys go down at different positions, such as you lose three bullpen guys, your seventh, eighth, and ninth inning guys at the same time, and two starters and your starting catcher at the same time, that's a whole lot different injury scenario than losing a player here and then he comes back and a player next. So I think the clusters of injuries, the timing of the injuries were really, really difficult. We played the team that we thought was coming out of spring training about eight games throughout this season with our roster intact. So that was challenging for him. And I think that what he has to improve on, he's already begun to improve on. His communication with the bullpen and the coaching staff has been outstanding. The players have mentioned to me many, many times how well he communicates with them. And I think that when that continues and you get a knowledge and a feel for everybody on the field and off the field, which he's begun, that's very, very important. I think he's had an extremely good year, very trying with a lot of trials and tribulations. And I think he's done a great job of it and keeps an even keel, optimistic personality and knows how to run a game. So I think that, he's had a great year with a lot of trials and tribulations and come through it, I think, better at the end of the season than he was at the beginning of the season. I think he feels good about his performance this year.
All right, great stuff, Mike. Appreciate it. Wish it was better. Wish we had more fun things to talk about, but thank you, buddy.
All right, guys, appreciate it. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Bye, man. All right. See you. Mike Rizzo, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.